This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Genesis chapters 46, 47, and just into 48, picking up with Jacob and Joseph reunited, Jacob blesses Pharaoh, Joseph in the famine, Pharaoh gets the fifth, and Jacob adopts Joseph's two oldest. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. from the Gospel of Matthew, the 12th chapter. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely.
This is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So a couple of evenings ago, my eldest son came to me with a question that had been bugging him since earlier in the day when he got into a theological argument with one of his friends over at the local Lutheran high school. And as any father would, I said, "Son, they wrote a whole article about that in the Formula of Concord. Let's go read it together." Now, the substance of his question isn't really relevant to our discussion today, but what's important is that I had a great excuse to spend some time in the Formula. Not that you really need an excuse, because it's always a joy to read. Now, one of the things I like so much about the Formula of Concord is the constant refrain, "We believe, teach, and confess." When you read the epitome, you see it multiple times on the same page, like bullet points. We believe, teach, and confess. We believe, teach, and confess. We believe, teach, and confess. Now, what's interesting about this threefold statement is that the first part, believe, is something that happens in the heart. It's internal. But the second and the third, teach and confess, are both external. They're words. Now, they could be written or spoken, but either way, they're about what you say. Because what you say is important. And in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to what you say, what's most important is what you say about Jesus. This then brings us to our text for this morning. It starts out with Jesus talking about trees. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. Now, usually when we hear about trees and fruit in the scriptures, we're thinking about the fruit as works. But in this context, Jesus is actually talking about words. Specifically here, he's responding to the words that others have said about him. So let's back up a bit and find out what those words are. This section in Matthew 12 really picks up in verse 22, where Jesus heals a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute. Matthew doesn't give us the details about the encounter except to say that Jesus healed him so that he spoke and saw. The more important piece of information is how the people responded. And Matthew describes two groups. All the people were amazed and said, "Can this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." The crowd's response indicates that they still do not fully understand who Jesus is. But the Pharisees' response is a word spoken against Jesus and his ministry, and that is what Jesus is responding to in our reading this morning. His response begins showing the absurdity of the Pharisees' statement by pointing out the obvious flaw of a house divided against itself. After that, he goes on to warn against blaspheming the Holy Spirit, saying, "Therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." Now, why does Jesus warn against blaspheming the Spirit when the Pharisees had spoken against the Son? Well, in short, this is because Jesus is the Spirit-anointed Son who ministers in the power of the Spirit. To reject the Spirit is to reject the one who bears the Spirit. Blasphemy against the Spirit, then, is ongoing rejection of Jesus, and this produces words that deny Christ and his work. Now, there's much more that can and should be said about this, but I want to get to the verses that we read just a minute ago. It's no accident that Jesus' words in our reading echo the preaching of John the Baptist that we heard this past Sunday. Recall that it was the sight of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism that prompted John to say, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Now clearly, by the time we get to chapter 12, we see that the Pharisees did not heed John's words. They did not follow his finger as he pointed to Christ and declared him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They did not believe what John said about Jesus, and they demonstrated this by what they said about Jesus. And now Jesus says to them, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil." What you believe about Jesus determines what you say about Jesus, and what you say about Jesus matters. "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So then, what do you say about Jesus? What do you believe, teach, and confess? Of course, this is why it is so important for us to hold on to the Scriptures and never, ever let them go. This is why we must say about God what he has already said about himself, and why the word of the Lord must always be on our lips. This is why we must confess with St. John that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. that he came into this world as the babe of Bethlehem, born of Mary, and that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit for the task of saving God's people from their sins. We must teach that he has saved us through his death on the cross, that he rose from the dead, and that his salvation is a precious gift to us. This is also why we must insist on the creeds, because they are true words about Jesus, because they point to him. As Lutherans, this is why we also hold to the confessional documents in the Book of Concord, like the formula that I already quoted. We believe, teach, and confess what they confess because they are true words about Jesus, guided by the inspired word of God. So then, my friends, do not deny Jesus as the Pharisees denied him. Rather, confess him. For as St. Paul reminds us, with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And as our Lord says, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. What you believe determines what you teach and confess. Let us, therefore, confess our Lord together with hearts filled with joy. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds with Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
In our prayers, we give thanks to God for the birth of a daughter, Ada Caroline, to seminarian William and Grace Haar. We also give thanks for the birth of a son, Gideon Charles, to seminarian Matthew and Shelby Bird. O Lord, hear my prayer. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Heavenly Father, you sent your own Son into this world as the child of Mary. We thank you for the lives of these children, Ada Caroline and Gideon Charles, entrusted to our care. Bring them to the saving waters of holy baptism and grant to them that precious inheritance awaiting them in your eternal kingdom. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
And with your spirit.